Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another Chess Moves edition of the Game Changers podcast. My name is Quinn Sashis, and it's a privilege and pleasure to be here with you as usual. This is the first time in a while since we've done a Chess Moves edition of the podcast, and I'm very, very thrilled and happy to record this amazing content for you. Today, as usual, we'll tackle three interesting stories. They are, namely, the WNBA salary drama, US potential ban on TikTok, and the millennial wealth disparity. Three very interesting stories, to say the least. I hope you gain insight as usual. All right, so like we always say, we don't want to waste any time. Let's hop into our first story. WNBA salary drama. Now, those of you who follow women's basketball would know the name Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a standout in women's college basketball. She recently broke records, including the NCAA's leading scorer in history, and was also recently drafted as the first pick in the WNBA. However, there is significant outrage on the internet concerning the salary that the WNBA has offered her. Her salary of $76,535 starkly contrasts with the $10.5 million that was given to the top NBA pick last year. Those of you who know would know that this pick is Victor Wembanyama. This highlights, you know, the significant gender gap between pay in professional basketball. Now, the NBA is 50 years older than the WNBA and has double the number of teams and games in a season and brings in $10 billion a year compared to the $200 million that the WNBA brings in. So definitely there's a massive gap in revenue. What many people fail to realize, however, is that WNBA players right now are not necessarily advocating for equal pay because they understand the dynamics of the league, but they're bargaining for equal percentage. So rather than equality, it's more equity. Now, currently, the women receive 10% of the WNBA's revenue, while the NBA players receive 50% of the NBA's revenue. So therefore, they receive a larger piece, the men receive a larger piece of the pie than the women do. When studying this story, I really came up with one key chess move, and that is the importance of actually putting your money where your mouth is and not merely complaining but actually putting the work. You see, many people on social media are outraged at the pay gap. You know, many commentators, both male and female, are outraged at the pay gap. They say, well, Caitlin Clark should be paid so much more because of what she has done for women's basketball, right? But you see, in order for that to happen, there needs to be additional support being paid to the WNBA. You see, if you're a sports fan and you truly want to see these female athletes thrive, then you need to start supporting female sports. You know, subscribe to stuff like the WNBA's League Pass or buy merchandise of your favorite player, whether that be Caitlin Clark or any of the outstanding female players that are in the WNBA. This will improve the players' bargaining power because, I mean, the more people that support the league, the more dollars the league will have, and then the players themselves can say that, hey, this is the revenue that I'm bringing in. When they go to the table, they can bargain for a larger percentage of the pie. So it is therefore important to support female sports. If you truly want the players to do better, then you must support their sport. Additionally, I want to call on particularly the female sports fans, because crazy enough, the demographic that actually supports female sports the most are actually males. But if the women were to come on board and truly support these female athletes, we will see an increase in revenue for sure, and we'll see an increase in popularity. The more females come on board to support female sports, the better off it becomes for the athletes. As it's often said, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So if you truly want to see something advance, you need to support it. Put your money where your mouth is, right? So that's story number one, chess move number one.
This ad slot could be yours. In a world filled with stories, make yours resonate. Introducing Prime ad slots on our podcast, the gateway to a captive audience eager to hear your message. Secure your exclusive ad slot now. Contact via our Instagram page to find out more.
Chess move number two and story number two. US to ban TikTok. Now, this one is an interesting one, right? If you're following the news, you would know that President Joe Biden signed a bill that could lead to a nationwide, meaning America, ban on TikTok. It poses the most serious risk to TikTok since security concerns about the app were raised in 2020. There are fears that Chinese owners of the company will sell Americans' data to China. You see, both Republicans and Democrats are afraid that Chinese parent company ByteDance will sell Americans' data to China. And, you know, they're afraid that this can pose a security risk. In the legislation signed by Joe Biden, it says that TikTok must find a new owner within months or face a ban from the United States entirely. TikTok plans to challenge the bill through legal means, considering it unconstitutional and harmful to free speech rights and small businesses. Legal experts suggest that a bill censoring TikTok users could be overturned by the courts, citing protection of America's First Amendment rights. A court challenge could result in the bill being temporarily blocked, but if not, TikTok may have to comply with the law. If TikTok is not sold entirely, the challenge lies in navigating Chinese law, as ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, is subject to Chinese regulations. China's export controls on algorithms could hinder a sale, potentially blocking it altogether or allowing it without TikTok's algorithm, crucial for its success. So in other words, a sale could happen, but China could block the sale of the algorithm that helps TikTok move together and made TikTok so successful in the first place. And therefore, you know, it will basically be a shell of itself. It will not truly have the value that it currently has. TikTok's algorithm is really what makes it successful. Now, without its algorithm, TikTok's future could be uncertain. And as the algorithm is integral to its popularity and user engagement. Like I said a while ago, TikTok's algorithm is what makes it so successful. Now, when studying this story, I came up with one main chess move, and that was that doing international business can be tough. You know, geopolitical tensions can directly impact doing business. I mean, clearly, even in the tech sector, companies must consider the broader landscape, you know, the broader geopolitical landscape when doing their operations and expansions. It might be nice to want to go outside of your country. It might be nice to want to go into international business, but you need to understand what the landscape is like in that country before you venture over there. You need to understand what the culture is like, what the business culture is like. I remember reading a book called Shoe Dog by the founder of Nike, and he was really speaking about his time, you know, trying to sell the brand in Japan, and the dynamics of selling the brand in Japan was so much different than trying to sell it in the United States. And this just tells us that, you know, it's different when you want to do business in international places. It is just a different ball game, and you need to understand that ball game. And this is true for TikTok currently. You know, the US are very US oriented, and if there is an opportunity for maybe a security risk, at least that's what they say, or if there's potential for another country to overtake them, they will find ways to, you know, limit that. And I am seeing this at play with the TikTok situation. So if you plan to do business in any other country that is not yours, you must understand the rules that they play by. You need to understand the culture so that you don't get yourself into hot water. TikTok can manage that. TikTok has lawyers. TikTok has so much money. But you, as a small business owner, might not be so well off. So it's important that you understand the market, study the market, understand the culture and the dynamics before you enter into this relationship with the country that you plan to do business in. All right, let's move on to our final story, and that is the millennial wealth disparity. Now, this one I find was very interesting. It is said that there is a significant wealth gap between rich millennials and the rest of the age group, leading to increased class tension and resentment. On average, millennials have less wealth at the age of 35 compared to previous generations. However, the top 10% of millennials have 20% more wealth than the top baby boomers did at the same age. The increase in wealth among millennial heirs is creating opportunities for wealth management firms, luxury companies, travel firms, and real estate brokers to cater to this affluent demographic. So we see that individuals in the millennial generation, the top 10% of them are really, really thriving in life. They're thriving better than previous generations, and they're thriving so much more than even people in their own generation. And, you know, that kind of creates a disparity. We often see that on social media. We see people in that age group, you know, really flaunting the lifestyle that they live. You might see them with a couple of cars, a couple of houses. You know, for the fellas, you might see a couple of ladies on their side, but you really see that being flaunted, that type of lifestyle being flaunted on social media. And, you know, there is that gap between the haves and the have-nots. But what I really wanted to focus on, and the chess move that I've derived from this, is the reality that these individuals are often heirs. Now, an heir is somebody who has inherited some form of wealth, some form of capital from a previous generation. And I'm seeing that, and this is the chess move that I derived, is that building generational wealth is so important. This is something that I've always spoken about. I've not built it yet for myself, but that is the plan. This is what, you know, a platform like this intends to build, and other business ventures that I want to get into intend to build. Building generational wealth is so important because it helps those who are not yet born thrive in life. So you're setting up an opportunity for those who may come after you, or for those, some of you who actually already have children, who come after you to thrive and live better than you are currently living. The disparity in wealth between millennials suggests that generational wealth transfer plays a significant role in shaping financial outcomes. Understanding and addressing factors contributing to this transfer of wealth, such as inheritance and access to opportunities, is essential. If you understand how to build your finances and how to save and how to invest for yourself, then you can teach these things to those who come after you. Maybe, like I said earlier on, you might not actually have children currently, but the decisions that you make today will directly affect those children that you may have in the future. Therefore, it's important, it's essential to understand financial literacy for yourself. And then when you do have a generation that comes after you, that you teach it to them as well. Because if you do so, then that's how you create that form of generational wealth, so that your lineage doesn't have to suffer as your forefathers have suffered. That's why I see it as so important. So it's important to build generational wealth so that those who come after you live a better lifestyle. Right? So this is quickly the end of this Chess Moves podcast, this Chess Moves episode for the day. But before we wrap up, as usual, I want to go back to understand what we learned. The first chess move we learned is that it's important to put your money where your mouth is, right? You shouldn't just complain. You should actually put your money where your mouth is and actually try to improve whatever situation that is unfavorable. The second chess move we derived is doing international business can be tough. And the final chess move we derived is building generational wealth is essential. If we focus on doing these things, if we focus on developing this type of mindset through these three chess moves, then we'll become better business people, we'll become better professionals, and that will ultimately leave a better legacy for those behind us. This is the entire point of Game Changers. This is the entire point of such a podcast. I hope you guys have learned something from today's episode. And as always, I want to encourage you to follow the news, learn certain things from the news, even go as far as suggesting some topic that I can tackle on the podcast. And I really want you guys to learn how to develop yourselves and to become better individuals based on this content. Anyhow, we've come to the end. Once again, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for continuing to support Game Changers. We recently passed the 2,000 subscribers mark. Thank you so much for your support. Extend that support by buying our merch. You see the Game Changers merch that I'm wearing here. You have seen the Game Changers merch that other guests of mine have worn. These clothes look very good. I can get it in your size. I can get it to your location. Feel free to click the link down below to get your pair. Once again, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, stay hungry as usual. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.